is 2GB. Get better water from every tap. Book a free in-home consultation at completehomefiltration.com.au.
20 minutes to 10 is the time. We've just talked about your financial health, so let's just shift to your physical health. And we talk regularly here with one of the great professionals from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN in Sydney, where they harness the latest scientific advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care you deserve. That's the whole person health care, as they say. But tonight, this is one of those subjects you don't talk about on the radio. And when I hear that, I think, yeah, let's do it. We need to do it. We're talking about menopause, perimenopause, and to make sure everyone's informed, because women going through menopause could be suffering from illnesses, no idea if it's normal or not. And at the onset of menopause, there are a number of conditions, and one of these, which I've never heard of, menorrhagia. Menorrhagia. It's something that a lot of people would know very little about. And so this is the discussion about that with Dr. Peter Wood, an obstetrician, gynaecologist at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, who joined me earlier today to go through all of this, including menorrhagia, menopause and perimenopause.
Thanks for inviting me. I think it's an important subject. I said to you before that, you know, if we were a couple of blokes sitting at the pub and our wives had cancer or breast cancer or bowel cancer or, you know, broke a leg, we talk about it happily. But if our wives had this condition, we tend to not talk about it. And menorrhagia is when they're really having such heavy periods that it's really causing them difficulty in managing.
Is that a consequence of menopause, perimenopause?
It generally is a cause in that perimenopausal period, which is perimenopause is like when you reach 40.
Can we
40,
just go back a step? Can we talk about menopause and perimenopause lay that out
so
first?
The specific definition of menopause is when a woman stops having periods. So many is the Greek word for menstruation, and pause means stops, right? So menopause is when the periods stop. And that happens between 45 and 55, depending on, you know, age, ethnicity, family history. Perimenopause is like when the hormones are still kind of working, but they're not fully functioning. So back one step. The cause of menopause is when the ovaries have run out of eggs.
Right.
And those little eggs make the hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and when there's no more estrogen, then the symptoms of menopause occur. Perimenopause is when there's a lot of estrogen, but not so much progesterone. Mm. The ovaries are still ovulating, but they're just in a different way. They're kind of getting towards the end of their use-by date, for want of a better term. And that can cause these bleeding irregularities, and the cycles can become irregular. They can be very heavy, you know, they can have trouble even leaving the house, you know. They can be quite debilitating. And women generally are the centre of most households. Yeah. Everything functions when they're functioning, but when they're not, when women are struggling, it can affect a lot of members of the household.
And so how often does this happen? For how long does it happen, the menorrhagia?
Well, it's variable, and it probably affects 10 to 20% of all women. It can last for years until menopause reaches, but sometimes some women, it can happen so badly that they're really in dire straits and they need help. I mean, it's been happening since the beginning of time. Yep. Even in the Bible, there's a woman who had the issue of blood who was seeking help. She'd spent all her money on doctors and she was seeking help to get some resolution for it. So, you know, it's been around for a long time.
And I'll ask these questions because
just ask away.
Can you stop it?
There are ways to stop it. So firstly, the cause of it generally is because there's too much estrogen at that time and the body's kind of lost its way to process that. It could also be caused by other conditions such as fibroids, which are benign growths in the uterus. They can happen really commonly. Yeah. Another condition which is really coming into vogue now called adenomyosis. You've probably heard of endometriosis. Endometriosis is where you have the tissue in the lining of the uterus found elsewhere. Well, adenomyosis is where you find that tissue in the muscle of the uterus, and that causes really heavy, painful periods. And it could also be caused by the hormone changes we talked about.
All right. Can I say for our listeners who are listening to this, going, there's two blokes talking about periods and menopause here and heavy periods, and one of them has got no idea. So it happens regularly? Is it in the same cycle?
Well, it can be, but sometimes a cycle cannot be regular. Sometimes it could be every 2 weeks or every week. Some people
can it?
It can just happen.
Well, talking inconvenient, it can be frightening as well.
So I've had business executive women who are running multi-million-dollar companies flying around the world, and this strikes them, and it can be totally disrupting to their lifestyle. I've had mums who have got, like, you know, trying to do the soccer mums, or just doing the taking kids to school, or just even doing normal duties. It can really affect them, and it can be really debilitating. And sometimes some women bleed so much that they end up in the emergency department requiring a blood transfusion. So it can be really...
So frightening, yeah.
Yeah, frightening.
So the treatments for it, we talked about can you stop it, and you've talked about...
So firstly, it's okay to reach out for help. There are various treatments. One is you could go on some hormonal treatment which can regulate the hormones, and that could be something similar to what the oral contraceptive pill is. There is an IUD, an intrauterine device called a Mirena, which has basically changed the face of gynecology in that it's just been so good. So to put that in, it's a procedure that can happen in most gynecologist surgeries. Some GPs can do it. And that's got a little hormone implant that goes inside the uterus. To put that in, it's like, a bit like having a pap smear. It takes a bit longer. And that can drastically reduce the amount of bleeding you have. But not all women respond well to hormones, and sometimes the hormones can cause mood changes and stuff, which not so good. And then they start going to surgical treatment, where you can do a day surgical procedure which can burn the lining of the uterus away. There might be a polyp or something that needs to be removed, but then you can do what's called an ablation, where you basically go in and cauterize the whole lining of the uterus and remove the ability to bleed at all, and that drastically reduces your amount of bleeding. About 70% of women after that procedure have no more periods at all. Obviously, that's not fertility spearing, so that's not something which you would do if you still want to have children. And then lastly, there were a couple more options. Then you could have a hysterectomy. And most of us will probably know members in our family, mums and our grandmas who the way they treated it back in the 70s, 80s and 90s was hysterectomy. There was no other option. Mm. Whereas now you've got these Mirenas, you've got ablations. Yep. And so the majority of women are able to be treated without needing a hysterectomy. Yep.
And is there at the beginning of all this an issue with dealing with it, talking about it, wondering whether there's something wrong with me and opening up about it, even just within your own family before you go to the doctor?
I think it's good to do that because you might need to mobilise some help. Yep.
Might be worried about doing that sometimes.
Well, sometimes it's a very personal thing. Most people don't want to talk about it. They feel embarrassed, and they shouldn't be, because it's a problem that's really important to deal with. You know, they don't talk with their partner, but it can, you know, but when you're unwell, it affects the people that you love, because if you're not able to function properly.
And the good news from your point of view is you've just listed a whole range of things that could happen.
That's right. And so most women, well, I would like to say nearly every woman, can have some treatment for this that can improve them. The only people that it really, how will I put this? It's not a cancer which is going to kill you, but it can be so debilitating that it can affect you, but it's treatable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And as someone who works as a doctor, having something to give someone ultimately that can help their problem is always going to be a godsend for you.
Oh, it's a really satisfying thing to do. Women come to me, I've had women just in tears, so worried that they've got a problem that can't be solved. And to be able to say, look, we can offer you these various procedures. And, you know, I have only touched on the surface. There are other procedures that can be done. If it's a fibroid, you can have that removed. Yeah. If it's adenomyosis, you can have that treated. So there are so many options, but it just needs you to start, initiate getting help.
And does it start slowly? Is there a point where it starts to happen through menopause and perimenopause, and you realise this could be an issue?
Yeah, so generally it will start, you'll just notice I'm getting heavier and heavier, and then it gets to the point where sometimes it might just be torrential, and then you just need to get some help.
Are we more open now about, we've just spent a fair bit of time talking about things that you don't normally hear about on the radio, which I think is fantastic. Are we more open now about talking about these issues?
I think we are, and I think women are feeling less isolated and are able to get out there, and I think more GPs are onto it as well. And in helping them get help quicker. And I think as a society, we're generally improving our awareness of this issue for women. And I think it just needs to, you know, keep on talking about it and don't be embarrassed. And it's okay to say, I need some help.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just thinking now, I mean, maybe all of us have got partners, wives who have partners and wives. Yeah. Should we be just saying, is there anything you really, you know, tell me about your health that you kind of, you know, that you're a bit reluctant to talk about that we should try and initiate the conversation? Well, just I guess, so that, you know.
Yeah. I guess if you're, you see your partner running to the toilet all the time, or you see her looking a bit faint and weak, so look, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, are you struggling? Are your periods really heavy? You know, I believe there's some good help out there for you.
Yep.
All right. You know, and what can I do to help you get that help?
Okay. Menorrhagia.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use that as a quiz question for how to spell it. thank you so much for coming in. Most interesting. And hopefully there'll be people who've heard this, who may actually take some action or feel a bit better about their circumstance, that there is something that can help. Thank you very much.
Big pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, there he is, Dr. Peter Wood. He's a gynecologist and an obstetrician. I had people objecting to two. I just talked about that. There were two blokes talking about something, but it's not normally discussed. But it is an issue, and part of the conversation was about trying to understand something that may well be an issue for someone in your life. So I'm not going to make any apology for doing that, and that's our weekly health segment there from the Sydney Adventist Hospital at 9 minutes to 10.
Hello!